My sermon on the last great day was about keeping our focus after the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, we heard many wonderful messages during the feast in Branson. Messages about the kingdom of God, focusing on the kingdom of God, the physical changes that will take place, the wonderful changes that will take place on this planet after Christ sets up his kingdom, but even more about the spiritual changes that will take place when people will begin to be called and they'll be taught God's way of life and they'll have their opportunity for conversion and how we will be involved with helping Christ in serving and teaching. So it was a wonderful feast on that end, and I reminded everybody on the last great day to not lose that focus when we go back home. Because we do return home, we encounter our various issues, problems that we might encounter, obstacles, could be things at school, could be things at work, family issues, whatever it might be, even living in this world going astray, we face trials and obstacles. So we do not want to lose the focus that we had during the Feast of Tabernacles, God's kingdom, and going forward towards it. It's so very important for us as disciples, after the feast, to stay the course. Keep going forward. Now I say that phrase, stay the course, because that's something I think we all can grab onto. It actually, there's several descriptions when we look at the word stay the course, how that phrase is used. For instance, naval ships, they have to stay the course while navigating through waters to whatever destination they are going to. The phrase stay the course has been used to describe horses maintaining their stamina while on the racetrack as they go round and round in the circles in the race. Also, the phrase stay the course is used in the middle of war or perhaps a battle, that the troops continue on regardless of any obstacles that they face. And stay the course is our challenge now. As I mentioned, we do face obstacles, challenges, and trials, and we have to keep going forward. I think we're all aware that we are to be watching and praying and watching world events, and it's so important to stay on track because Bible prophecy tells us that the world is going to get worse just before Jesus Christ returns. So let me ask this question at the beginning of this sermon. Are we and will we continue to stay the course towards the kingdom and not stray from the path? Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 to begin the sermon today. Luke chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 51. And this section of scripture has a title, and the title is The Cost of Discipleship. And Jesus Christ is going to, in this section, we're going to see how Christ is talking about commitment that a disciple has to make that follows him. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse number 51. This is Luke writing here. Beginning in verse number 51, and he says this, Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him, talking about Jesus Christ, to be received up, so talking about the time that he would actually go through what he's going to go through, be tried, arrested, put to death, and be resurrected to go up to the Father. When the time had come for him to be received up, notice this, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus Christ was steadfast to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew what awaited him. You know, he knew that he's the one that inspired the prophecies in Isaiah 53 and other scriptures that we could name. He knew the suffering that he was going to be going through, that he'd be arrested, tried, and put to death, of course, for all of mankind's sins. But he was steadfast to go there. He didn't waffle or go back from the commitment that he had made to the Father and what he would be doing. He didn't back away from that mission. He was committed. Also, when we evaluate this phrase, set his face to go to Jerusalem, it gives us a sort of snapshot of what Christ would teach about the commitment that a disciple has to make in order to follow him. And this section that we're going to read talks about that commitment. So Christ was steadfast, set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was committed. Now let's drop down to verse number 57. And Luke writes this in verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road, so there were some disciples following him on the road going to Jerusalem that Christ was committed to go to. As it happened, they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, Luke doesn't write what Christ was thinking or what Christ said, but I believe Christ was thinking, oh yeah, will you really follow me wherever I go? And then he says this in verse 58. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So Christ was saying that he would be on the move. There'd be little time for rest. And a follower must take that into account. In other words, count the cost. You have to be committed if you're going to follow me. Continue on. Verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, this was the answer of the other disciple, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. So this particular individual had another priority. First priority, instead of following Christ, he had to go back and bury his follower, bury his father. Then he said to another, in verse 60, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. So this particular individual, he had a priority first and foremost that he had to do instead of following Christ. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. This particular disciple, he had a first priority, and that was to go bid farewell to his family, friends, and whatever he would bid farewell to, instead of dropping everything to follow Jesus Christ. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The point that Christ demands here in verse 62 is total dedication. Half-hearted commitment would not do. And that's a lesson for each and every one of us. We cannot allow other priorities to come first. These disciples that we just read about focused on other priorities instead of following Christ with total commitment. So we, as disciples, must be totally committed to follow Christ, to go forward to the kingdom and stay the course. You know, this is one of the sections of scripture that we use when those of us that are in the ministry to counsel somebody who wants to be baptized, that you've made a commitment now. You want to be baptized. It's a commitment that you've made for the rest of your life, that you're going to follow Christ and you're going to focus on the kingdom of God, the family of God, and you're going to go and nothing's going to stop you from getting to that goal. So this is something that Christ was emphasizing, the commitment. But there's also a warning here in verse 62, because he says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Now he's referring to somebody that's plowing behind an animal and they begin to look back and all of a sudden the furrow that they're making goes crooked instead of going straight. You know, in today's world we have tractors, you know, with plows behind them and the plow follows. But in the ancient world and even in our early history in the United States, a plow was behind an animal and you had to keep the focus on going straight, keep that furrow straight. You couldn't look back. So Christ made a warning here. An individual who looks back is going to be in trouble. He's not looking forward and going forward and being fully committed. looking back here causes one to veer and not plow straight. He gets off course. And the reference here, when we dig into this scripture, is a reference to Lot's wife. Of course, you know the story. Lot's wife was leaving Sodom. She longed for whatever was back there in Sodom. She looked back, and of course, she was turned into a pillar of salt. She did not want to leave her old way behind, looked back, and of course, that was in her heart. Also here in verse number 62, we see this phrase, having put his hand to the plow. Having put his hand to the plow. That means going forward and completing a task. Completing a task and not looking back. The Feast of Tabernacles is over. We've been inspired by many sermons and messages that focused on the kingdom, our role as servers, helpers, and teachers to assist Christ. Now the challenge is there for us to stay the course, follow God, go in character and fruits of the Spirit during this coming year as we go forward from the Feast of Tabernacles. It's so important to keep our focus now and go forward in spiritual growth. The title of today's sermon is, Keep Your Hand to the Plow. Keep your hand to the plow. And as I mentioned, that means going forward and completing a task, the task that you and I have been called to, and go forward to the kingdom of God. So today we will examine the importance of going forward in spiritual growth this coming year, to stay the course and to keep your hand to the plow. Keeping our vision alive of the kingdom is key in this determination. What we learned at the feast, some of you that were at home and connected, you heard wonderful sermons as well about God's kingdom. We have to keep that vision alive, because if we look back, we're in trouble. Let's go back to verse number 62 and examine this verse even closer. Notice the verb to look, our English to look or the verb look. That comes from the Greek, which means a special contemplation. A special contemplation. So not merely just looking like you'd glance at something real quickly, but looking at something and really dwelling on it. And it's something that has value to you, a special contemplation. And looking away from something while giving special attention to something else is what these individuals previously had done. And what Lot's wife had done. Special attention while looking back. And it's a warning to each and every one of us. Spiritually speaking, there's some people who lose focus. They lose focus of what their calling means and what God expects them to do. Whose hearts are completely somewhere else. What we would call looking back to an old way of life or possessions or whatever we have. And their hearts move in that direction. And Christ is emphasizing the priority here in the last part of verse 62, where he says, the kingdom of God, that's what we should be looking to and giving our special contemplation. That's what a follower, a disciple, would be committed to doing, going forward towards the kingdom of God. And when we preach the kingdom of God, us as disciples, our example means as much as anything else. The example that we put forward. A light to the world. I want to look at a couple more phrases here, a little closer. This phrase, is fit for the kingdom. Is fit for the kingdom is a phrase that shows the seriousness of commitment. The seriousness of commitment. If you are fully committed as a follower of Christ, you have a serious commitment, and you will go forward, following through on the commitment, and you can be used by Christ in the kingdom. And also this phrase, keeping the hand on the plow, means the plowman is keeping his concentration on the furrow being made before him, because looking back would result in a crooked furrow. So keeping the hand on the plow, going straight, going forward, you're focused. And that's what Christ is emphasizing here. We want to stay the course, keep the hand on the plow, not stray away from what God has called us to do. So we have to be determined to stay on the right path, continue forward and not go backward, but forward towards the kingdom. Just as Christ, as we read here in verse 51, the last part, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew what awaited him. And I imagine some of us, as we returned back from the feast, we started thinking about, okay, I've got to go back to work, or I've got to go back to school, and there's going to be these challenges and that, whatever challenges you're going to face. And even above that, what we read in Bible prophecy, we see the events that are going on in the world today, and we know where the world is headed. And so there are going to be challenges, trials for disciples before Christ returns. But are we committed? Are we focused? And do we continue to go forward? Are we staying on the right path? God has called us to the most wonderful promises, to be first fruits in the kingdom. We must not waver and continue on towards that goal. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, just a few pages forward. Are we staying on the right path is a good question to ask ourselves. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 28 through 32. This particular section is focusing on the return of Jesus Christ and the suddenness of his return. Because we know, as the prophecy talks about, he's going to return suddenly upon this earth. Luke chapter 17, and let's begin reading in verse number 28. Luke 17, verse 28. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, and I wanted to focus on this particular section of Scripture because we already read about the danger of looking back, and we know what Lot's wife did. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. In other words, the people in Lot's time in Sodom, they were going about their regular activities. They were eating their lunch and their breakfast and their dinner, whatever they ate back in the ancient times. They were building things. They were going about their regular daily activities. Verse 29. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Suddenly came down upon them. Of course, we know why is because of their wickedness. This is the reason why the fire and brimstone came down. But it was sudden upon them and destroyed them all. As you can read in the book of Genesis and also here in this particular section of Scripture. Then Christ gives this warning here in verse number 30. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When Christ returns, the suddenness is going to take the world by surprise. Of course, we can read about that in Matthew chapter 24 and other prophecies. Now, here's a warning for disciples. He emphasized the suddenness of his return. Verse 31. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods, or his provisions, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And then he adds this in verse 31, remember Lot's wife. Again, a very stern warning from Jesus Christ to disciples. Because Christ's return is going to happen suddenly. And it will not allow time to gather possessions. You know, and that can be a problem for people. You know, if you have a lot of things that you treasure, your house, whatever is inside your house, those are your possessions. And yet Christ is warning, there won't be time to gather possessions. And that's the reason one would go back into the house or come in from the field, is to gather your possessions. And the point is, where is one's heart? Where is your heart as a disciple? Rather than going back to gather possessions, a decision should be made of what lies forward, the kingdom, and eternal values, rather than the possessions that one has in the present life. Lot's wife, as Christ reminded us in verse 32, her heart did not want to leave Sodom. She did not want to leave her old world behind. And she looked back. And of course, we know what happened to her. Christ was teaching this in this section of Scripture, the suddenness of His return. And if we as disciples are attached to possessions, to this world and its values, we are not properly prepared. We're not focused. And we have to be. To stay the course, we must reach forward. As I put in my title, put your hand to the plow and leave other things behind. Keep that focus and that vision alive. But how do we do that as we go forward from the Feast of Tabernacles? How do we keep that vision alive? Well, we have help. We have help to keep that vision alive. And first of all, that help is what you have in front of you. The Scriptures, your Bible. God's Word gives us help along the way to keep that vision alive. And to keep us on the right path. And to keep us from straying off the right path as well. God's Word keeps us on course. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 2. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And we're going to read verse number 2. This particular scripture that we're going to read about is talking about God's Word and helping us so that we don't stumble, so that we stay straight and go forward. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 2. It is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And we have to have that knowledge. And we have to treasure that knowledge for the treasure that it is, God's Word. And it's not good for us to be without that knowledge and that understanding. Last part of verse number 2. And he sins who hastens with his feet. Now, what's that talking about, sins who hastens with his feet? Well, the New International Version translates this, to be hasty and miss the way. Miss the way, to get off course, in other words. And God's Word helps us to keep on course and also to avoid sin and to realize what sin does to us. God's Word is the light for our path that keeps us focused, not to waver, nor be distracted in our course. I like a comment from the Bible Knowledge Commentary about this verse. It says this, ambitious drive, which without adequate knowledge, may lead to hasty blunders. Such haste may result in a person missing the way or making mistakes. And we have to seek knowledge from God's Word. It helps us to keep on the right path so that we don't miss the mark. And we continue on going forward. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And we're going to read verses 10 and 11. Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 10. The psalmist writes this, with my whole heart I have sought you. And that first part of that verse should mean so much to us as disciples. To seek after God with our whole heart. And of course, seeking that from His Word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, the psalmist says, let me not wander from your commandments. Help me, God, along the way to keep your commandments. I know I'm weak. I know I have my problems, my shortcomings, but help me to stay on the path and keep your commandments the way that I should be doing. Verse number 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word hidden in one's heart. In other words, treasuring God's word. It means everything to me. If we treasure God's Word in our heart, it keeps us from wandering and sinning and getting off course. Of course, with God's help. This phrase here, hid in my heart, not only does it mean treasuring it, but it also means living by it, living by God's word and God's commandments. And obedience to God helps us to keep our hand to the plow, to go forward and stay the course. We know the examples of ancient Israel, how they got off course. We're going to look at a couple of them here shortly. But when we think about what God did for ancient Israel, you know, we read this in the book of Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, etc. God took them out of their slavery. Some of them, that's all they knew for all their lives, was to live in slavery, to feel the taskmaster's whip and to work on those bricks and the things that the Egyptians had them doing. That's all they knew for all their lives. And God freed them from that slavery, took care of them in the desert. And yet, what did they do? They got off course and they rebelled. And that's a lesson for each and every one of us. Let's go to Psalm 106. We're nearby. Psalm chapter 106 and verse number 7. Excuse me. Psalm chapter 106 and verse number 7. This is a description here in this simple verse of how Israel got off course and rebelled. Psalm chapter 106 verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders, even though they were witnesses to the miracles that God performed that eventually led them to their freedom. They didn't really fully understand what God had done for them. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Remember the account in Exodus chapter 14, after they had rejoiced and left Egypt with a high hand, they came to the Red Sea, and they looked behind. Looking back is not good. They looked behind, they saw Pharaoh's armies coming at them. And they panicked. Instead of thinking, you know, God took care of us, all the miracles that he did when he freed us from our slavery. We saw, you know, the sun darkened, all the things, that the Egyptian firstborn dying, all those things that they saw. Instead of thinking, God will deliver us, he's going to help us. What did they say and do? Oh, it'd be better to go back to Egypt. It'd be better if we were still slaves under the Egyptians. They didn't learn and they didn't understand. And they rebelled against God at the Red Sea, as we read here. I like a comment from the Companion Bible about this verse. It says this: it took 40 hours to take Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel. God had displayed his love for them, his mercy. He heard their cries, released them from their bondage. And yet they went back because they did not remember what God had done for them or how merciful he had been. They got off course. And of course, they were looking back at Egypt. They went back because they went back away and rebelled because they did not remember what God had done for them. And using God's word and looking at these examples helps us to keep in mind how powerful God is and how he can help us in our time of need so that we can stay the course. Gives us the courage to stay on the right path. Let's look at another example in Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. And we'll begin reading in verse number 5. Psalm chapter 78, verse number 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. You know what we, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, when he, through a sermon given by Moses, gave them the Ten Commandments to the new generation that would be going into the Promised Land. Established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. And you know, we can read about what happened to the future generations after the new generation of Israel died, the ones that went into the Promised Land, when Joshua died and the elders that were with him. You come to the book of Judges, a new generation, what did they do? They went into paganism. They got off course. And it just got worse and worse throughout Israel's history. They didn't teach their children to teach their children God's way of life. And they got off course. Verse 7, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's all they had to do to their children. Those mighty works that God had done in Egypt, and helping us in the desert, all that He provided for us. We have to stay straight and follow God. And be not like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, verse number 9, being armed and carrying bows, of course, they were the most populous of the tribes and a very fierce warlike tribe, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in His ways and forgot His works and His wonders that He had shown him. And I'm going through this section of scripture because I want to emphasize, let's not forget what we learned at the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, that wonderful vision that's there. Keep that in mind and not forget it. That's what Israel did. Verse 12, marvelous things He did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, the miracles that were performed. Verse 13, He divided the sea, caused them to pass through, and He made the waters stand up like a heap. This is what should have been taught to the generations and the generations of Israel. God's wonders. In the daytime, He also led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness, gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like the rivers. But what happened? Verse 17. They sinned even more against Him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. Israel set a bad example. God worked miracles, miracle after miracle for them. But they got off course. They rebelled against Him. They forgot how powerful God really is. And that's something that we have to always keep in mind. Our great God. And He has a plan for not only us, but all of mankind. Keep that vision alive. Deuteronomy chapter 5. One more scripture in regards to this fact that we have help. We have help to keep us on course. To keep that focus. Keep our hand to the plow. And that's through God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And this is the section where Moses was, just after he had cited the Ten Commandments to the new generation, he gave them this admonishment in Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning in verse number 31. Verse 31, but as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am going to possess. Because Moses was teaching them, and he expected the generations to come to be taught. Verse 31, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You know, that furrow is going straight. Keep it going straight. Verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. And what will be the results of that? The last part of verse 33. That it may be well with you, and that it may prolong your days in the land which you possess. Moses was teaching the children of Israel to keep going straight on their path. Don't turn aside to the right or the left. To keep their focus. And the results would be that it will be well with you and with your children as well, as you go into the land, the promised land. And we have to keep that focus alive. And the scriptures are there to help us to keep that focus. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Winding down some now. Ephesians chapter 4. Remember Christ when He was praying to the Father in John chapter 17 and verse 17. He said, your word is truth. God's word is truth. You know, we live in a world of falsehoods, lies, and they're coming forth more and more each and every day. But God's word is our light to follow. God's word is truth. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's pick it up in verse number 13. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, following in Christ's footsteps, abiding in Him to go forward. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And you know, as the Apostle Paul was writing these words to the church in Ephesus, this was going on in the first century AD, that false teachers, false prophets, wolves with sheep's clothing were coming amongst the brethren and trying to deceive them. And that's the warning that he was giving them. You know, abide in Christ, follow his footsteps. Don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine and false doctrine. Keep going straight. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So Paul was giving the admonishment here that follow Jesus Christ. Don't follow the false teachers that come amongst you. God's word is truth. And keep abiding in Christ in God's word. This phrase here in verse number 15, where it says speaking the truth, another way to translate speaking the truth is doing the truth. Doing the truth. By your example. The example that you live and that you show. The light of your life. A light of truth. An expression of righteousness and holiness. And doing the truth, as it's put here, speaking the truth in love, involves attitudes and actions. It should be our attitudes and actions. An example to the people that we come into contact with. To be disciples of Christ, we must be reflecting His character, which is one of truth, so that we can continue to grow in character and to go forward and not to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but going straight towards the kingdom. Because the time is coming, we know the prophecy, that false teachers are going to arise to even deceive the very brethren. We don't want that to happen. Got to keep our focus and our vision alive. So God's word helps us to keep that focus, to keep our hand to the plow. We have so many examples and so many things that we can read to inspire us and help us to go forward. But we also have help on another end, and that is God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit working in us. We have means to go forward by help of the Holy Spirit, and we can ask for that help. We can ask for that help. You know, there are scriptures where we are told to ask, seek, knock. And how wonderful will it be for God to hear us to say, God, help me with your Holy Spirit so that I can maintain my course, to keep that focus, to keep that alive, that vision alive. That would be wonderful. God would love to hear that from us. And all we have to do is ask. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is a section of scripture where Paul was talking about the Holy Spirit and its effect on our lives. That one should be spiritually minded instead of carnally minded. And then we come down here to verse number 14 of Romans chapter 8. And this has so much to do with what we've been talking about in the sermon today. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, spiritually minded, spiritually focused, these are the sons of God. And that's one of the things that we were talking about in the Feast of Tabernacles and when we heard those sermons and listened to them. You know, we have a wonderful opportunity that God has called us to. When that trumpet sounds to be changed from the fleshly body that we have to spirit bodies, to become part of the family of God. And then we're going to be there assisting Christ, helping, teaching, serving. And it's going to be something that we will be able to treasure. And we can look forward to that. And those that are led by the Spirit of God, that are spiritually minded, that are walking in, with God's Spirit, they will become part of the family of God. And that's our goal. And that's what we have to keep focused in our mind. I'm not going to turn there, but you can put down in your notes if you'd like to. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Actually turned there in my sermon on the last great day. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, where the Apostle Paul was admonishing young Timothy to stir up God's Holy Spirit. Because Paul knew what Timothy was going to be facing. The obstacles and the trials that he'd be facing as a young minister, a young elder going out to preach the gospel message. And he gave him that encouragement. Stir up the Spirit of God so that he can keep his focus. And that's what we have to do too. And we can ask for that help to keep us focused and going forward. Final scripture, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is a great section of scripture because the Apostle Paul, and I mentioned this in my sermon in the last great day, he faced so many trials. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was put in the dungeon. He was put in chains. He was also stoned and left for dead. So many things that the Apostle Paul went through. And yet he never lost his focus. He had that focus on the crown of life. And he pressed forward to it. And that's what this section of scripture is talking about. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. Paul says this, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on," the Apostle Paul said, despite the trials and everything that he went through, tribulations that he went through. He pressed on. He went forward. And why? "That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." He kept his focus. Verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." You know, we've seen the examples in Luke chapter 9. Christ had disciples walking with him. And yet he said, "Will you really follow me?" "Well, I have to go do this first." "No, I have to go do this first." They weren't fully committed. They were looking back. Also Lot's wife, looking back on Sodom and what she had there. The admonishment is here, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And that's what we've got to do as well as disciples. And finally, verse 14, Paul says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He pressed on. He continued on. What I call in the sermon, keeping his hand to the plow. Paul refused to let past mistakes keep him from making progress or obstacles to keep him from the goal that he had. And the prize is the reward for being victorious, becoming part of the family of God in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful vision that we have in front of us. We have to keep that alive. For me, the Feast of Tabernacles went by fast this year. You know, I told Lydia, I said, "It seems like as I get older, they go faster and faster and faster." But it did. It seemed to go by fast this year, like they always do. We have returned back home to our lives, our normal lives, and the challenges that we face. So let's be determined, each and every one of us, as Christ was, to go forward, fully committed, stay the course, and go forward towards the kingdom of God. Always keep your hand to the plow.